Blog Talk Radio.
93.3 FM is on. Yeah, I'm the Floss Child Boots Rothschild, and I'm in here commentating for my man Tweed Cadillac. 93.3 FM is on. Coming every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Call in with your requests. 347-308-8747. And holler at my man, Sweet.
93. Baby.
Yeah. That's kind of smooth right there, ain't it? You gonna hear some of the oldies, man, that you ain't heard in a long time, Jack. Cause Cadillac gon' take it from here to there. And make you get your game on, man. Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Call in your request at 347-308-8747. You know that's Blog Talk Radio, baby. Straight old school R&B, smooth rap, jazz. Hosted by my man Tweed Cadillac. So make no mistake, you just tune on in and listen to my man Tweed Cadillac do his thing. Oh, me? Oh, yeah, I'm the commentator, the Floss Child, Mr. Boots Rothschild, the East Coast player.
93. Sweet.
I've been blessed to come on in here and do a few things. Now you sit back and relax. And check out my man Tweed Cadillac.
93. Tweed. FM. So you like that? I know you do. Tweed. 93.
93.3 Tweed FM. Thursday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Call in and check out Tweed Cadillac. 347-308-8747. Blossom Radio.
Parental discretion is advised. Respectful callers are welcome. Disrespectful callers who disrespect 93.3 Tweed FM will be talking to toe. These views are solely expressed to enlighten your perspective on the world's oldest profession, not to be taken out of context. No one is implying or endorsing a chosen lifestyle. This broadcast is to trigger thought. Evoke commentary. These opinions are from an insider, not a fly-by. Freedom of speech getting exercised to the third power. 93.3 Tweed.
You touch your gun, but don't you know you can't hide? No, no, baby. when you give it up, it's only enough to get me by.
Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by I Am In, the only station playing lowrider R&B oldies, R&B and all in between. Find another session like this, let me know so I can tune in. 347-308-8747 is the call-in number. I accept comments, questions, dedications, and donations. Holler the player, but don't yell, y'all. 93.3 FM. Tonight's special guest will be none other than Mr. American Pimp himself. He goes by the name of Gorgeous Dre.
You start, you stop. You know what you got is what I need. Oh, yes, indeed. When you give it up, it's only enough to make me see.
Stay tuned, y'all. This here is my day job. And you know this, man. 93.2 FM.
Ism. Talk to be the boss.
We're gonna be talking about the makings of a man.
Paid to talk to be the boss.
What it takes to become a man.
I'm paid to talk to be the boss.
We're gonna see where the real men are tonight.
You know what to see. Look at me. Know what to see? See a bad mother. Paid to talk to be the boss. Paid to talk to be the boss. Look at me. Know what to see?
Walked out his house and left his wife with 6 kids. The only way she knew to make her living was get out there in the streets and bump heads with the rest of the girls. She get out there, she hit on this man, that man. Everybody turned her down. Finally, up popped the spook. She hit on him with all the strength she had. She said, honey, would you care to have a little fun? He said, damn right, I want to have some fun. He went on with the woman. They started taking off their clothes. He reached and grabbed his pants and pulled them back up. I said, wait a minute, hell, we ain't got together. How much? She said, $100. He said, woman, you a fool. Hell, I ain't never give a woman $100 in my life. She said, listen, baby, if you give me $100, I give you a trip around the world. He said, I tell you what, I give you $20 and you stop me in San Diego.
93.2 FM, y'all. Stay tuned for the life coach, author, man about town. You know him as the American Pimp, Mr. Gorgeous Dre. Will be on the premises momentarily. Don't touch that knob, it's my day job. 347-308-8747. We accept comments, dedications, and donations. 93.2 FM.
Is
morning here. Got some hot chocolate in the stove waiting for you. Listen, first things first, let me hang up that coat. Yeah, how's your day today? Did you miss me? Yeah, you did. Yeah, I missed you too. I missed you so much I followed you today. That's right. Now close your mouth, cause you cold busted. That's right, now sit down here. Sit down here, so upset with you, don't know what to do. And my first impulse was to run up on you and do a Rambo. We're about to jam you and flat blast both of you. I ain't want to mess up this $3,700 Lynx coat. So instead, I chill. Chill. Then I went to the bank. Took out every dime. And then I went and canceled all those credit cards. Yeah. All your charge counts. Yeah. I stuck you up every piece of jewelry I ever bought you. Yeah. That's right. Everything. Everything. Get fly with me. Nah, don't go looking in that closet. Cause you ain't got nothing in there. Everything you came here with is packed up and waiting for you in the guest room. That's right. What was you thinking about? Huh? What you trying to prove? Huh? This was a juice. I gave you a silk suit, Gucci handbags, blue diamonds. I gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. Now I can't give you nothing but advice. Cause you still young. That's right, you're still young. I hope you learn a valuable lesson from all this. You know, I'm gonna find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, you know what you gotta do? You gotta get on out of here with that Alley Cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing, crumb cake I saw you with. Cause you dismissed. That's right. Silly rabbit tricks are made for kids, but you know that? You without me like cornflake without the milk. My world, you just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Now get on out.
Walking in the lot, pimping. All these hoes standing by the phone, no switching. Soul Rider, R&B oldie.
Busy in the parking lot.
Only station playing Funkadelic with the Temptations. 93.3 FM.
Here's a
Stella Hadden and Stella Flair, y'all. That's Young Quan out of Texas. Fam, live in the building is Mr. All-American Pimp, Mr. Andre Taylor, but y'all know him as Gorgeous Dre. How you doing today, sir?
What's happening with you?
Man, everything is everything. Glad to have you right here on 93.2 FM. I understand you're very vocal. You have a lot to say. We want to get into your, pick your brain of the mind of a madman that's completely sane. Sir.
Yes.
What I would like to say, first of all, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Heard a lot about you. We've never personally met. Followed your career. Followed your existence as you are today. You have a lot to talk about to the community, to the world. I just want to get your viewpoints on a few things. For example, I understand now you're a life coach, you're an author, and you have a philosophy which is called The Makings of a Man. Can you get into a little bit of detail in regards to what the young black men need to know today?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me clear?
Yes, I can. I will adjust. There you go. Can you hear yourself?
I can hear myself great. Can you hear me clear? I just want to make sure because I'm on the speaker.
Yes, everything is everything, sir.
Oh,
speak
great.
On.
Now look, man, I want to welcome everybody. Very happy to be here. You know, I remember you tweeted, Cadillac, from that first CD you guys, the Players, what was it, the Players Clique?
The Penthouse Players Clique, original. Yes, sir.
I loved it. Boy, that was my album, boy. I loved it, man. And, you know, so it's good that we linked up, man, and we're able to go ahead and holler at the people. But I just want to let you know, man, that was my joint, boy. Woo,
man, I surely appreciate that. Another dimension, the many facets of a player, you know. Your life has been like inspiration for me as well, too. I actually knew about you before the docudrama American Pimp. I just had never had the pleasure and chance to meet you. But you're a very interesting character, man. I just need to know, what did you learn in the game that you could share with these cats so they won't make the same mistakes that you did? Understand that you was on top of the totem pole, which is very hard for damn near anybody that jumps into this game as a novice. But we don't just necessarily want to get into the peace perspective of things. I want to know, what did you learn as a man? Because I understand that you're real deep in the makings of a man. What can you say that actually helped your rise in this game?
Well, first of all, people that seen the movie know that my mom and my dad were in the game. And so I come up out of that environment as a child. So I had the opportunity to see it from a child's perspective before I became a man. You know, a lot of people don't have that opportunity because maybe they get into the game because they've seen some television, heard a little music somewhere, or seen somebody else do it. But I have a perspective from a child and also an adult, you know, having participated in myself. But, you know, a lot of things the game taught me in the makings of a man. There's a lot of things that I learned. For instance, one of the things, you know, I have a lot of clients that I advise and life coach also. But one of the things I constantly hear from a lot of the males that I'm talking to is the problems that they're having with their women. And they constantly are making mistakes because no one communicated to them some fundamental principles about manhood. You know, so you really can't transmit what you don't have. Or a lot of people are going off of what somebody else said that don't work. For instance, let me give you a perfect illustration. The reason why men and women are different, people know that women are emotional. This is not a bad thing. I'm not being denigrating to women. God made them to be emotional. This is beautiful for them to be emotional, right? But God didn't make men emotional. He made men logical. But what's happened is because a lot of the young males have been raised by their mothers, then they've taken on the characteristics of their mom without even realizing it. I give you a perfect illustration. Say a young man is growing up with his mama, right? He's watching his mama. He's observing his mama from the time that he was a baby all through his toddler years. And then he gets to his 12, and then he becomes a teenager. Now, he's seen his mama deal with problems before. He's seen his mama deal with circumstances before. And when he's seen his mama deal with them problems and them circumstances, he's seen her deal with those problems and circumstances with emotion, right? Because that's how God made her. But he didn't have a man around to explain to him men don't deal with their problems with emotion. Men reason. That's why you have a lot of youngsters that if they got a nice pair of tennis shoes on and you happen to step on their tennis shoes on accident, the first thing they want to do is fight you and pull a gun out and say, why you step on my tennis shoes? They really don't realize that they're acting like a woman because they never had a man around to tell them men don't act like that. Men reason. Let me give you another little illustration, right? When I was in the Fed, I used to go in the yard and put a lot of the brothers down, and I would have a conversation with them about emotionalism, right? And I said that the powers that be want to feed you a false sense of power, a false sense of strength by making you feel that you're tough. I'm tough. I can beat you up. I can whoop somebody from the shoulder. Right? I said, but that's a false sense of strength. That's a false sense of power. Right? Because the most opposing men throughout all history have really, the most powerful men really weren't really imposing. They weren't really tall and gigantic and muscle bound. Throughout history, the conquerors haven't been men that were imposing. I tell them this, man. I said, you've got to understand that it is true that the strong control the weak. Between the wise control the strong. So here you have a lot of cats in the ghetto that push a hard line with a swag that they're tough, but they don't run the country. And you got these white boys out here with self-bombers. I told these boys in the yard, you guys are trying to take over people's communities with them Uzis, but they take over people's countries with self-bombers. You know naturally, they got trained assassins that's all they do every day is learn how to kill. Every day. Cats in the street, they don't learn how to kill every day. They're going to go get them some weed. They're going to go mess with a little broad. But these people are in the military. They are trained assassins. They'll come through any black neighborhood, any Mexican neighborhood, and they'll wipe the streets up with anybody because these people are trained assassins. So they're really laughing at the people in the hood and in the ghetto because these people think we happen to think that we're tough and we're running something. You ain't running nothing. They're not scared of that. They're prepared for violence. They're prepared for any amount of violence that anybody in the hood can bring, and that don't worry them. What worries them is a man that has some intelligence. Is a black man or a Mexican man that's going to think, a minority that's going to think, that's going to reason, that's going to use his mind. These are the things that worry him. They didn't try to give me life squeeze because I was such a bad pimp. I wasn't no terrorist. I wasn't trying to kill nobody for them to want to give me life in prison. What was that all about? I'm going to tell you what it really was. They realized that I had the potential to empower the lowest guy from the ghetto to make him feel like he's somebody. Now, that's dangerous. That through my words, I can take the guy, the lowest cat in the ghetto, and empower his life and make him feel like he could be somebody by seeing what I've come through, what I've risen out of, with all my disadvantages, and me, with the help of the Almighty God, raising me up out of my condition to be somebody. I come from the streets. I come from nothing. A black man with all the disadvantages, so they say.
that I was able to overcome any of those disadvantages that they said that I had. And now, with the help of God, is in their universities teaching their students. Only God could do that through knowledge and power. That's real power, man. That's what they're really scared of. You hear me? So now, man, here is our dilemma. This is our dilemma right now. Our dilemma is this. Who are we? Where is our voice? What's the most important thing about us as a people? It used to be our God. Now, I'm not talking about this religious God. I'm not talking about these. Now, I'm not mad at nobody in particular, but I got to call it like it is. I'm not talking about some of these, not all of them, but some of these churches, man, that is a part of the propaganda. There's some of these churches that see a cat like me, and when I come into the door, they judging me because of where I come from. I'm talking about these kind of churches, right?
Yeah.
So there's no voice in the community anymore. So what is the voice? What are we listening to? Are we listening to rap music? Is the most important thing in the black community money? Because if the most important thing is money, our greatest leader who believes that the most important thing is money, he going to become a snitch or he going to become moved. Because if his principle is money alone, all the government or somebody has to do is offer him money to move him. So it has to be something greater than money. But all we've been talking about through our music and through our communities is, man, I got to get this money. I got to get this money. And I want you to get some money. But I want you to have a purpose in getting the money. What you going to use this money for? Just to empower yourself? You are only as great as the people that you influence around you. Understand what I'm saying. You will only be as great as the people you influence around you.
Dig that. Dig that. So you never actually had a goal when you was in the game. You just walked your walk, talked your talk, and it took you where it took you, right?
No, I had a goal to get a nest egg of money, to utilize that nest egg of money to go do what I wanted to do in a legal capacity where I didn't have to ask anybody to help me. You can notice this, man. If you don't got no money, nobody will help you do nothing. But when you got somebody, when you got some money, people will help you do stuff.
Real spit. That's real spit. That's real spit. So what did they charge you with when you went to the pen? I'm basically curious to know. What could they charge you with? Because I've never really heard anybody going to the feds for a 266 charge.
They charged me with money laundering. They charged me with the Mann Act, which is transporting a person across state lines for immoral purposes. Now, a lot of cats don't even know what that is. That law was created in 1906. In 1906, that law was created for Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight of the world, back in 1906, because they wanted to try to stop him. So they created the Mann Act. So when he was with that white woman, and he took her and married her and took her across state lines, which was a crime back then for him to be with a white woman, and when he took her across state lines, they nabbed him for doing an immoral act. So now when I had some prostitutes or some hoes, and I took them across state lines to participate in prostitution, that's how they nabbed me on the Mann Act.
Wow. So now it's called human
trafficking. Well, yeah, now they're calling it trafficking. See, a lot of cats don't realize if, say you're in the game, right, and you got your little female, and you're in your local city. Well, they'll give you a pimping and a pandering. But the moment you take her across state lines, then you committed a federal offense where the feds get involved, and a lot of cats don't even realize that.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I know a few cats, man. One of my dearest friends, he's out of Oregon. It happened to him in Salt Lake, Utah, and he's sitting it down right now. Didn't even know the girl for a few hours. So things can happen like that, man.
This is how they get you, right? Because I fought my case and I learned a lot from fighting the case, right? This is how they get you. I said, well, look, I didn't bring that girl across state line. The girl caught a plane
on her own, right? But they said, well, if you in any capacity assisted in her getting from one place to another, then you are liable for the manner. Or if you had an intent when you first left your city to go to another state and your intention was to do it for prostitution, you are in violation of the Mann Act because of your intent. You intended to do this. So I asked him, I said, okay, well, if I had a friend of mine and we were just going for a vacation and we just happened to go to Vegas and lose our money and we decided to hustle up on some money and we wanted to go get some money, well, then is that the Mann Act? Well, they said, well, no, I have no intent.
Wow. So your travels, you know how cats talk about they state to state, they coast to coast. I'm sure that you've been to every major city in the United States. Were you mostly indoors or were you outdoors? I mean, kind of give us the era at your top of your career.
Well,
what years
I was in and out.
Are we talking?
I was in and out, you know. All through those 90s, I was indoors, outdoors. You know, my philosophy was, you know, I wanted a well-rounded individual that would participate in the lifestyle with me, have the ability to be on the tracks, the streets, and have the ability to be in hotels or luxury resorts. So that's what I was doing.
So how do you find complete peace of mind nowadays, considering you're out of the game, you're an author, you're a life coach? How do you find peace of mind?
You know, when I go lecture at colleges, a lot of the students ask, you know, why is it that you stopped? Would you ever think about going back? I said, well, let me be honest with you. Probably if I did not reach the pinnacle in the games that I reached, I might have been tempted to go back. But the good thing is that I was allowed to reach that pinnacle. So once I reached that pinnacle, I would be going backwards. What else could I do that I haven't achieved already in the game? So that kind of freed me up, you know. I had, you know, exhausted the desire, you know, for the game because of my achievement. So that allowed me, you know, to go into some other direction. But it wasn't easy. I was challenged. When I first got out, the feds that took everything from me, I didn't have nothing. You know, they say in the game, no dough, no hole, no place to go.
Right, so.
I didn't have nothing, man. So, but you know, I had gave God a promise that if He would help me and maneuver around my life to get me up out of that prison situation, then I would be loyal to Him once I hit the streets. And, you know, a lot of people make promises when they're in prison and when they're in jail, you know. But I was a man on the street that kept my word then, so it wasn't inconvenient to me to keep my word when I got on the street. So when I was challenged and I didn't have no money and I had to go stay back with my grandmother and you know, I needed $5 and $10 in my pocket and the devil told me, but you know, you can go in 1 week and go get you $100,000. You know, you ain't got to stay submitted to that. You got boys out there, partners that you know, you're 10 times sharper than rolling in Rolls Royces. Man, go out there and get you some money. And I had to take that. Like I said, man, it's one thing being in a financial situation and you can't do nothing about it. But I was in a situation that I knew that I could do something about it and still not do it, and that was a challenge for me. To have to be in need and have to be in a humiliating situation and stand, and God chose to open up a different door for me. And I stood that test, but it was hard and it was grievous, but I stood. And because I stood, I'm here today being able to do what I do.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, we have a few callers, man, probably want to share a little something with you. Callers, be advised that I am Indy, which is my official sponsor. It's not going to tolerate anything. Please be respectful to my guests. If you disrespect my guests or 93-point Tweed, you will be talking to Tone. These views are solely expressed to enlighten your perspective on the world's oldest profession, not to be taken out of context. No one is implying or endorsing a chosen lifestyle. This broadcast is only to trigger thought. So please, man, keep your comments real, and we got you. Caller, last 4 digits, 4810. You are live with Gorgeous Dre. Hello.
Hey, Queen. Hey, Queen, what's up, man? It's your boy Ricky Barton from Seattle once again, man.
Oh, how you doing, sir? It's a pleasure to have you on tonight's episode.
All right, yeah, I couldn't miss this one for the world, Pimp Juice. And shout out to my boy Andre Taylor, Gorgeous Dre. I'm just glad you made it out the game, Sammo.
Hey.
Yeah, that, you know, because for me, I was never no pimp or nothing like that. I used to consider myself a quote-unquote Mac from way back, but it didn't work for me. So I just went on to school and everything, and right now I live in Seattle where everybody and their mama think they a pimp. And I just told them from your American Pimp documentary, hey, man, everybody can be down with that lifestyle because of success rate, and you have to be pretty much a sharpened individual for that craft, you see.
Right.
And like,
right.
And I'm not, as you said, Tweed, I'm coming with all respect. Like, my old lady, we talked to her when we was on the Maxie Bond show. Now, her mama was known for pimping. Now, Dre, how many women that you've known in the game that was known for pimping?
How many women I known that I knew that was what?
Pimping, like on the scale like you were, who had like three or four of them in a Cadillac and have them going state to state doing their thing. Women.
Women? I didn't know no women. I knew some, you know, there are women madams that were, you know, doing it like that.
Right.
But
now my fiance, Dre, with all due respect, her mama, rest in peace, Jackie Corlett, up here in Seattle, Natalie was the coldest female pimp that was out there in her era. And she was a half white, she was a half white and a half black woman.
Right.
And she made them go for what they know, like you did in your former years. And now that we graduated out of that type of a lifestyle, her mama gave her the game. She wants nothing to do with it. Now we're doing our church thing just like you're doing, Mr. Taylor, and it's a wonderful thing, you know.
Well, man, I'm happy to hear that, man, and stay optimistic, man. Keep pressing forward, you know. It takes a man to live up to his word and what he says despite the consequences, man. And I think that you got that part. And as long as you got that part, you're going to keep winning, Ricky, for real.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know what, Mr. Gorgeous Trey, you know, I was in a penitentiary not too long ago, too. I made a promise to God, too, that I was going to get out here and keep mashing for him. And just like you, I kept my word. A lot of cats thought that I was like, oh, well, you wasn't repping Christ on the street, this and that, and this and that. And I was like, you know what, you was right, but I was representing being a real man out there, too, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I tell people all the time, man, when people say, oh, you just wanted to have God because you're in prison. So what? You done hurt my feelings or something? I want
okay.
I can't call on him when I need him most. He's expecting me to call on him when I need him most. So would that make me small or something because I wanted him because I'm in prison? So yeah, I did.
Okay.
And he did help me. And that's why I'm on these streets running for him and haven't turned back. So Rick, let me tell you what people do, man. People sit there when you're trying to do the right thing. This is what people do. They sit around to watch you to see if you're going to make a mistake. So this is what you tell them, Ricky. Remember this. This is what you tell them. Say, I see you looking at me, and I see you watching me to make a mistake. And guess what? You're going to see me make one. I said, but when you see me make one, don't stop looking. Keep looking, because you're going to see me get up again, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to know what I read the other day in the Word, Dre? In the book of Proverbs, it says, for a just man falls seven times, but he always rises back up.
Exactly. So that's what you let them know. Every time I'm going to get back up again. So don't stop watching. Don't stop when you see me make a mistake because you're going to see me get up.
Exactly.
One thing I'm going to leave you guys with, and I'm going to let y'all, you know, have everything, you know, and about the church people. I want to address these church people. You know what? I still listen to Tweed, Cadillac, radio. I still got the old penthouse players thing. I still got all the music I listen to formally and everything. And see, and what these church people are trying to do is they're trying to sit up there and put a ban against the people that God has instituted to help, you know, society out in the first place, because assurance is those people behind those walls sitting there running those games, getting their Cadillacs and Lexuses and Bentleys on. It ain't them. It's the men like me and you and Mr. Tweed Cadillac.
Wow.
Well, this is what you have.
That's real.
This is what you have.
Yeah, this is what you got to understand about that, man, is that, you know, what God will do, man, he'll take people from the streets and go back to the streets. Some of the church people don't understand. Some of them do. Not all of them, man, but some of them understand. And the ones that don't, oh, well. You know what I'm saying? Because God needs some real serious people, man, to reach serious people. I always tell them this. I say, listen, and I'm going to leave this one with you, Ricky. I tell them this.
Yes, sir.
I said, look, when I was on the streets, man, I was on the front line every day willing to give my life for what I believed in. I said, most of these church people couldn't reach me because you're not that serious about you. I'm serious about what I was doing. I was willing to die. So when I came on this side, I brought that same dedication, that same commitment, and that same passion to die for what I believe in about Christ, like I was believing for the devil. Now, sometimes when you're making that same commitment, church folks, some of them get scared of you. They think you're too serious. But understand what I'm telling you. And let Martin Luther King say, the man living having found something worth dying for, he ain't even fit to live.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks, Gordon Brownbaugh, to get the Holy Ghost over here, bro.
All right. Get the Holy Ghost.
I just love real talk. You know, thank you, Dre. Thank you, Mr. Tweed, for letting me share the stage, sir. Yes, sir.
No problem, sir. You're always welcome at 93.2 FM, man. We're going to get into a
song. Yes, and I will definitely tell a hater to tell a player, a holler.
There you go. There you go. And also tell him that you can't stop a high-speed soul train, and how could you not picture me rolling? 93.2 FM, y'all.
Yes, sir. That's how we do it.
We're about to go refresh our drinks, play a tune, and we're coming back, man, with Gorgeous Ray. Y'all stay tuned, y'all. It's going down in a real way. We're still here, baby.
Telling you so long, I'm still here, baby. After saying that I'd be gone, now maybe I was just talking out of my head. Hold me when I
need someone.
Ooh, wee girl, you're right here to kiss me when I
want someone.
Oh yeah, your love don't resist me. You're here, and I'm so glad that I'm still here. After making.
Funkadelic with the Temptations. If you find another station, let me know, y'all. because I'm still here.
Hi, this is Little Jackson. You're listening to True Cadillac, 92.3 FM. Rhythm and blues, okay. This is the only station playing.
My godmama, y'all, Millie Jackson, representing that 93.3 FM. We are live once again with Mr. Taylor. Gorgeous, right?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, sir?
Oh, man, I'm loving it.
Let's talk about The Road to Paradise. Seems like a very intriguing autobiographical depiction of your lifestyle, man, from road to redemption. Let's speak on that. Where did it come from? Where was your motivation? What insight did you have when you sat down and came with that?
Well, I was in prison when I wrote The Road to Paradise, man. I decided that I wasn't going to let prison, I wasn't going to do time like that. You know, I was going to utilize something and make this time an advantage for me. So I had a purpose in it. You know, I said, you know what? I'm going to show these people, you know. So I wrote that book during that time in prison because I had the time, the focus, to reflect and to recollect things of my life. So I went from the time that I was a child, when I got into the game, when I was in the church, you know, when I got married my first time, before I got into the game, and before I got, so I went all the way, man, and synopsis on different parts of my life, man, and you know, it's on my website, which is OperationAndreTaylor.org. If people want to check it out, it'll bless you. Go on there and check it out. But let me
say that one more time. Say that one more time for him.
OperationAndreTaylor.org. .org, OperationAndreTaylor.org.
There you have it, y'all. Y'all need to go there, check that out. Dre,
yeah, check the site out and check everything out. But let me get into a little something real quick before it goes by my mind, man. Because a lot of people are always asking me, man. Because when I was an American pimp, I made a statement about before you're a pimp, you got to be a man. Before you're a doctor, before you're a lawyer, you got to be a man. But no one has ever really defined what a man is. I mean, what's a man? What makes you a man? I have a client that that I coach and advise, and I explain to him, dealing with his wife, I say, listen, man, I said, and I learned this from the game, everything breaks down to value. Now, I want you cats to really listen to what I'm saying. Get your pens out. Get your paper out. I'm not being funny. I'm not being facetious. I want you to write this stuff down because it's going to sound good, and you're going to say, oh, man, that sounds good, but write it down if you want to utilize it for your life. Everything breaks down to value. Give you a perfect illustration. Say you got an average girl and an average guy in America, and they have a relationship, boyfriend and girlfriend. In that average relationship, the girl feels that she's more valuable than her boyfriend. You can ask that girl, hey, would you allow your boyfriend to be with another girl while he's with you? Would you allow him to have another girl? She might suss you out. Heck no, I won't. And get angry and frustrated with you even asking her that question. But ask her a different question. Ask her a question like this. Ask her, if you had an opportunity to see your favorite movie star, your favorite rock and roll singer, if you had an opportunity to be with your favorite actor, even though they're married, would you be with them? And if they was honest, they'd be like, girl, yes, or yes, I would. Well, the question is, why would you be with your favorite actor, your favorite sports figure, and your favorite singer, and he had another girlfriend or a wife, but you wouldn't let your boyfriend have another girl? Why would you do that?
You know the reason, Tweet?
What's that, sir?
The reason is because she feels like the movie star, the actor, the singer is more valuable than her. So when you see something that's more valuable than you and you feel like it's more valuable, then you're willing to accept more from it. There's a parallel line from what I'm telling you to the Bible. See, in the Old Testament, they had multiple wives. And there was never, and I'm not promoting this to nobody, I'm just breaking down something about value, right? I'm making a correlation between the Old Testament, between pimps, and between value. In the Old Testament, there was never an argument about how many wives a man had. There was only argument about how many children one of the wives had. If one of the wives had more children than the other wife, there'd be an argument. But there was never a problem about how many wives a man had. Well, why is that? Why in the Old Testament was there no argument? Because back in those days, the value of a male child or the male was 10 times more valuable than a woman. A woman wouldn't even consider doing her duty until she birthed her husband, a male child, because the value of a male child was so much higher. Therefore, the value of men was so much higher than the value of women. So because of that, women were just honored to be with a man, even if he had five or six wives, because his value was so great. So people ask me when I go lecture, how is it that these women will be with you, and you got eight women, and they'll leave their boyfriend to be with you, and you got other women? I said, because I feel value in myself. Well, how did you build value in myself? Well, the average man is taken over by a woman's sexuality. I'm not. In order to be successful in what I was doing, I had to minimize the power of her womb. I had to make her womb of no consequence to me. And when I made her womb of no consequence, automatically, she's like, well, who is it? Who do you think he is? Because she's used to slaying men with her womb. So when she recognized that didn't work with me, she's automatically interested in me. Like, oh, my God, because I feel the value. There's a store called the Bijan Store in Beverly Hills on Rodale Drive. Now, when you go down and you walk by the Bijan store, they have something real particular in the window. They have a sign that says "by appointment only." And you think, wait a minute, you got to make an appointment to go into the Bijan store? What if these people? What if I had $100,000 in my pocket right now? $200,000 didn't matter because you got to make an appointment to go in this store. Well, why is that? Because the owners understand something about how rich people think. Rich people want to feel as if they could do something that the average person cannot do. So the fact that there's a sign there, you see somebody in that store, the people outside looking in is going to know that this person has to be somebody high power. And the feeling that person's going to get when you're looking inside of that store is value. Everything breaks down to value. So a lot of guys do some things without knowing it to minimize their value in the eyes of a woman. One of the things they do, you hear what I'm saying, man?
I'm listening, sir. Speak on.
So one of the things that they do is this. If my woman would have did this, then I would have did that. When they come to me and they tell me that, I say, don't you ever say that again. They say, why are you tripping, Drake? I said, because what you're really saying is that you need her to be a woman in order for you to be a man. What you need to be saying is, despite her actions are not big enough to make me be less than who I am as a man. When you say, if she would have did something in order for you to be something, you've empowered her. You've made her powerful in your life. You can't operate in your manhood because she ain't operating in her womanhood. You've lost value.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So a lot of guys out here are making moves and losing value without knowing in the woman's eyes with that emotionalism. I told the guy this. I said, listen, you know why my wife today respects me, or you know why I have respect? I've been married 15 years this year. But do you know why I have respect in the game and I reserve respect right now in my relationship? Because I constantly am showing my wife I could do something better than she could do. Because if you don't show a woman that you could do something better than she could do, she don't got no reason to respect you. Because she don't think you just like her. So if you go into a situation and your reaction to the situation is the same way she's reacting to the situation, she's going to ask herself, why should I follow this cat? He's acting just like me. I need to be able to demonstrate that I can have my feelings hurt, be wounded, and still be a man and be consistent. If she could see me do that and she struggled with that, guess what? That builds value in myself, and she's got a reason to follow me. If she see you acting just like her with every situation, she ain't going to have no reason to respect you because you acting like her, which means you acting like a woman. But a lot of these guys never had nobody to convey this information, so they're walking around not knowing what a man is and how to be one. That's why they come to me. So in our community, they never heard what I'm telling them right now today. They've never heard it nowhere. But now that they've heard it, and I hope they've written everything that I said down, they will begin to apply it. And young cats or older cats, if you apply what I'm telling you every day of your life, you're going to see the tables turn in your life. But you cannot minimize yourself by acting like your woman.
That's right, because they will not respect you, as you said, and they won't follow you, as you said, and they won't listen to nothing that you say.
You act
so you are absolutely 100% right.
Right.
I got another caller.
All right.
Hold on 1 second. Caller, last 4 digits, 4810. You are live on 93.3 FM with Gorgeous Dre. Hello. Hello. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's Rick again. I had to get up. I had to come back for another dose, man.
Okay,
right.
Rick, it's all good.
Yeah, and that conversation right there had me just to the screen that the last one. I couldn't get enough, Dre. That was so solid, man, and that was so real that, you know, you might have to repeat that phrase to me one more time so I can jot this on down. When you said just take notes, you were not playing.
What's the last thing you said?
I said, what you told us to take notes, I said, you were not playing because it was definitely inspirational.
Yes, necessary, man. That's why I told you guys to write it down. Understand, the principle of what I'm saying is everything breaks down to value, Rick. Everything in life, right? And a lot of things guys are doing without knowing, they're devaluing themselves in the eyes of their woman. They don't even realize what they're doing by some of the moves that they're making. Right?
Right.
So now, I was explaining to you that a woman will accept more from you if you're valuable to her. If you're not valuable to her, I'm not talking about accepting something that's going to hurt her in any capacity. I'm just saying that you've got to showcase the value of your manhood. The reason why I was successful in the game, the reason why I was able to have, you know, multiple women at one time, is because one thing, I wasn't allowed. See, when you lie to a woman, you minimize your manhood. What you're saying is that you have to creep and yield in order to have this woman. I was the contrary. I let her know up front, this is what I'm about. And the reason why I'm telling you this is what I'm about, because I want to give you the opportunity to decide if you want to continue with me or not. That's value. So the woman, if she continues with you, down the line, she can't say, you're a liar, you're sneaky, and she can't have no complaints.
Amen.
Because she's up front from the beginning. But the problem with these cats
is that they lie and they connive like sneaky little cats.
That's right.
And then they expect for the woman to have a good attitude. She shouldn't have a good attitude if you're representing yourself as a sneaky little broad.
Right. Yeah. That's what we call false advertisements, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So one of the key things is this. I've said this in a different interview, but it bears being repeated. Say you have a lieutenant, and he's in the army, right? And the lieutenant has some men underneath him in the battlefield. And the men did some things that were inconsistent to what they're supposed to be doing. Now the general comes and he talks to the lieutenant, and he says, "Lieutenant, what is going on with those men in the battlefield? What the hell is going on?" Now, if the lieutenant says this, Rick, if the lieutenant says, "It's those men that you gave me," the general will remove the lieutenant from his position because the lieutenant doesn't understand his role, his responsibility as a lieutenant. He needs to be removed. Well, that's just like Adam and Eve. When God came and said, "Adam, what happened?" He said, "It was the woman you gave me." So then Adam wasn't responsible. He lost his headship. So a lot of guys today keep blaming the woman. But they need to understand you don't recognize the value of the place that God has placed you in. Irregardless of whether this woman did some right or wrong, you have to be responsible for the position that you are as a man.
Amen. And you know the interesting thing about that, Drake?
Huh?
You know the interesting thing about that story that you said right there about the Adam and Eve thing? Is that God gave Adam the word first. The woman wasn't even created before. You know, God gave Adam the word before he gave the woman the word. And then he said within himself it wasn't fit for that man to be alone, and that's why he made her help me for it. He did.
You're absolutely right that he was accountable for his headship, right? Now, again, right. I want people to understand that I'm not denigrating women in any capacity because this show is about manhood. Maybe I'll come do another show on womanhood and explain
another
women
idea.
How to keep themselves empowered and with the watch out from males, not men. Maybe we'll do another show, but we're talking about men right now because there's a crisis about manhood in our community. This is why I'm on the line with Tweed Cadillac, baby.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, I just wanted to get one more bar in. I thought, you know what I'm saying, I got my last little eat on and everything. So, thanks for the meal, Dre. And
no problem,
you and the wife, may the Lord bless you. And Tweed Caddy, we right here for you, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. And you know how I always get down, tell a hater to tell a player. 93.3 Tweed FM is them, baby.
Yes, sir, in that order.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Dre, hold on 1 second, man. We're going to get on down with another old song real quick. And we're going to come right back with the Makings of a Man. 93.3 Tweed FM.
What I mean, boys, it's a little crusty from Eastside Vatos Locos Homes. I remember him back in the days when he used to come through. I remember the old E Homes. Don't think I forgot. Just giving a big shout out. Y'all not knowing, you better give him his props, eh? Tweak, Cadillac.
What you know about rap, yo? Take a whole lot more than a gang go. Lot more than a Range Rover. Whole lot more than a Renault. I serve y'all both, so. Hella way more straight from the get go. Let's talk about flow, though. In front of me, you run like Flojo. What you really wanna rap for? Really though, all y'all so-so. Break it down like a low-low. Greatest hit, flow to the mo-mo. Yo, party, I'm gon' crash. With a hit for that ass and a dash. Ain't a blade, a pimp can't match. Every beat that I'm on gets smashed.
Man, shit, this is a motherfucking mode. You know, man, I thought I was here to catch a pimpin'. You know what I mean? hot shit, man. It's young, I'm saying, brave, man, you know what I'm saying? All up in the orange front, you know what I mean? I had a little bit of snowflakes for the method, quite thick, my pet, and they know how to slip his toes up, man.
I'm up off the pants from a gland. Don't cough, just break mine off. Team Marie, tell him who's wrong. Don't trip, feel these bars. Tell your girl, go stand by the car. Daddy G, come again with the scream. Serving pure dope straight from the beam. Run with a T-neck gleam. Old school like Afro Sheen. Got girls on deck in bed. We fit crazy shit from lead. We spit that spray like dick. Y'all pissed, suckin' we fed. Sweet Cadillac, my shit bum. Smooth up in a house like what?
Presence, my time, man. Already. What? Wait, what's good, man? It's Nate, the SC General. The
I'm stuck out here in New York, man, trying to teach these niggas how to, you know what I mean, the real G, man. You're not understanding me, man. I need you to fly down there. Take the first flight out. I meet you at JFK, man. Break some of the big booty holes, too, man. We ain't got a lot of those where I'm from. Yeah?
I mean, what it is, man. It's your nephew, man, Pippin Tom, man. You know I'm doing this shit from the Golden Gate all the way back to the Silver State, though, right? One love, man.
Tweet Cadillac 93. Tweet FM. Caller, you are live on the air with Gorgeous Dre. Hello. Okay. You are not live on the air with Gorgeous Dre. I'm live on the air with Gorgeous Dre. Mr. Taylor.
Yes, indeed.
So how did you stay under the radar for so long?
Well, I wasn't under the radar in that the game community. I'm very well known. But you know, people in the game, you know, general leader, pimps, whatever you want to call them, they don't really, some of them, they don't frequent prisons very often. Most of the time you'll get people who are, you know, selling drugs or D-boys or, you know, people that are gangbanging. You don't really see a lot of PIs in those places, you know, probably because they're transient kind of people. In other words, they're traveling so many different places. So, you know, you really don't see them kind of people. So, but, you know, things happen, man. You know, I'm not mad at nobody. It happened, and I knew exactly what I was getting involved in, and I knew what the consequences could be when I did. I remember when they caught me down in, I had ran from, I didn't really run. I went from Vegas and I was just maneuvering through LA and everything. And I had a Nobel bench warrant out for me, but I wasn't going to really turn myself in because they had already come into my house in Vegas and took all my furniture, clothes, money, everything. So I was trying to go hustle me up some money. And they put this bench warrant out, and I felt like the catching come before the hanging. So when they eventually caught me, the vice officers from Vegas, you know, they came and they brought me back to Vegas. You know, they, you know, was asking me, you know, about other people and this, that, and the other. And so this is what I told them. I said, let me explain something to you, man, because, you know, I didn't want to enrage them. They want to whoop me because I was, you know, being smart mouth or anything. You know, I wanted to use some sense. So I said, man, what you guys are asking me is just like if I was in the army or in the military. And, you know, and the enemy captured me, you know, and the enemy said, you know, we'll release you if you, you know, give some secret stuff about your country. And at the time when I was talking, I didn't know that one of the vice officers there had been in the military. But when I had broke it down like that, I said, it's like if I was going to give some secrets up against my country. And I told him, I said, no, sir, will I give up secrets against my country. I said like that to him. And the one vice officer dang near wanted to salute me. You know, what I'm saying, man, is that what happens, man, and where we are today is the strength of our people is gone in a lot of capacity, man, because high treason is at the highest mark that you could ever imagine because people didn't do what I did. Counted up the cost when I got involved in the game. I counted up the cost. Somebody asked me, man, when you was an American Pimp, Jay-Z, as a matter of fact, I was at one of these parties, and Jay-Z came up to me and he said, man, you were talking, you know, you were talking crazy, man, up in that movie and this, that, and the other. And so people ask me a lot of time, man, how is it that you stood like that, man? I told them, I said, you know, if I had just made my mind up when I got into the trouble, maybe I could have folded. Maybe they could have broke me. But I had already made my mind up years ago when I got into the game that this could be the result of my actions in the game. And I'm willing to pay the consequences that go along with my actions. How be it death, life in prison, or whatever. I had already concluded that that might be the end result of this. And I accepted the fact that it could be, and I ran with it. So a lot of cats don't do that, man. They get involved in any kind of hustle or any kind of street, but they don't count the cost up. So when they get crushed and they in the lion's den, they want to tell on everybody and everybody's mama.
Wow.
So that's a part.
Real spit.
Yeah,
real
man.
Spit.
See, a lot of that comes from us as a people. We've strayed from the fundamental principles of what makes us strong as a people, man. And you know what makes us strong? The strong is all about me. That's not the strong. The strong is about us. How you think we came through slavery? How you think we came through that blacks only blacks here and there? How you think we came through all that? Because it was about us as a people. But see, what we've done, we've taken on the characteristics of our captives. That money is more important than principle. And so because we continue to promote the rap music, and I love rap, but I just don't like where it's gone today, it's lost its consciousness. So because we continue to promote through our music and through our communities that money is more important than principle, the value of principle, the value of us together as a people, that me individually coming up is more important than us as a whole coming up. Because that's promoted in our neighborhood, we've become weak, man. We've become extraordinarily weak from the 60s. We become weak, and we will get weaker, and we will become more exploited. Because what they want to do, tween, they want to promote us in our, not in our greatest life, but in our deficient life. They want to promote broken English in our community. They want to promote that this is something cool to not be able to articulate, that this is cool to not articulate, to speak Ebonics. They promote that because they know if they can continue to promote that stuff, they kill a generation of us. A generation of us will never be on the global scale to compete.
That's true. That's true. They say children of today can't even write in cursive. They can't spell. My grandmother used to tell me stories about how block parties started in neighborhoods. And it was like if your dad got laid off, everybody in the block knew he got laid off. So if your auntie made the best pies, and if your mama cooked the best fried chicken, everybody would get in the middle of the street and come with a spread, and we all could eat. We were not divided. It all meant something. In my neighborhood where I grew up in South Central L.A., yearly we had a block party. And we had celebrities. Yeah. I saw Switch. I saw Lakeside would come to our neighborhood and do a live concert on our private street in a gangbang area. And it was this beautiful thing. You know, we fed each other. We helped each other in a real way. But
well, I know
as you
remember
say,
when you all go to Griffin Park. Remember Griffin Park? They used to throw free
and,
concerts
yeah,
over there.
Yeah. Do you remember Chevy Hills Park? Do you remember Ladera Park? Do you remember the KH concerts in the park? All of that was free.
Oh, man.
The community was real. It was good. People want to brag about South Central L.A. South Central L.A. was actually a beautiful place to live. It wasn't even called South Central L.A., but it was a beautiful place to live.
We walked down the street. Remember the word we used to say? Peace, brother.
Yeah,
that's what we used to say. We walked peace, brother. But you know what happens, man? Let me tell you why it's so easy to kill somebody black. Why blacks can easily kill somebody black. Let me tell you why it's so easy. Because when that individual looks in the mirror, he don't like what he sees. You know why it's so difficult for me to kill somebody black? Because when I look in the mirror, I love what I see, man. I love what I see. So I remember when I got out the feds, right? And Katz was asking me to go do some players ball. Now, you know, people can do what they want to do. That's fine with them. But I could not keep perpetrating a perpetual industry of lack. But what I did do is when these colleges asked me to come lecture at these criminal justice classes, I connected myself with that because that's longevity. Now, this is for these brothers, because a lot of times I go and teach at the Shields program, these transitional treatment centers, when brothers is coming home from prison, I go there and I teach and I meet them when they're coming home. I'm in the community for real. So what I do, man, is I try to tell them how I made my quantum leap from where I come from to what I'm doing now. One of the first things we have to understand is that the playing field is designed for you to fail. When you come out of prison, everybody makes you feel like you are nobody and you're nothing. So you cannot win in that playing field. So at these treatment centers, you know what I teach, man?
What's that?
I teach that you got to change the playing field. How do you change the playing field? Everything you got to look at with a different perspective. If you are, let me give it to you like this so we can break it down. The American Dream is an idea that an individual came up with. He sold the idea that in order for you to be happy, you got to have the American Dream. A house, a three-car garage, 2.5 kids. If you don't have that American Dream, you can never be happy. So what happened is when people bought the idea of the American Dream, they became consumers forever. So they felt that if they don't achieve this, what somebody came up with, that they haven't achieved happiness. So let me explain something to you. There are some people in third world countries that don't have none of the American Dream that are content and happy with what they have. So see, that's somebody's perspective of what they made you believe happiness was. So if you keep on buying the lie, then you keep becoming a consumer. So when I came out, I never bought the lie. So because I didn't buy the lie, I have a new perspective of my life. So now I begin to find joy in things that they're not telling me I can find joy about. Bringing my family and my kids back together. Seeing my kids.
Exactly, but you'll never get rich working for the other man anyway. You might acquire the boat, the jet skis, the house, the swimming pool, but you will personally never get rich. He will get rich, and you're just a cog or a employee number 765.
Yeah, but what is rich? You got to question the system. What is rich? Does rich mean that I got me a nice house, a nice car, and I got me a Benz. I got these Benz from 22s or 24s or whatever, and I can go buy me any drink I want. Is that rich? Is that
no?
All
that's not rich at all. That's not rich at all.
Did Martin Luther King have that? Did Malcolm X have that? Did Mahatma Gandhi have that? Did Marcus Garvey have that? Did any of our is that what makes you complete? Because they could give you that if you sell out. Well, sell out to what? We'll keep perpetrating the less than us, not the greatest, not the great enough. They'll give you that. They don't mind a few thousand blacks to give them that. They keep perpetrating this image of less and not greatness.
That's real.
They'll perpetrate
that. Trey, let's take this caller. Let's take a caller real quick, man. I don't want to cut you off, but we got a lot of people that want
to
talk to you, man. 93.2 FM, caller, you are live with Gorgeous Ray. Tweet Cadillac, baby.
Hey, man, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is the one and only composer calling from out of San Francisco, California, you know what I'm saying, by way of Filmo. It's an honor and pleasure to be on the phone with you tonight, man. Tweet Mr. Tweed and Gorgeous Dre.
Hey, now.
Hey, I want to speak on a variety of things. I'm kind of all over the place. I've been tuning in since the start, you know what I'm saying? And one thing, you know, the movie American Pimp, man, you know, before I get into that, you know, for a lot of people out here today, perception is reality, you know what I'm saying? But really, it's really not the case. So, you know, for those that's caught up in the street life out here that's overly glorified today, As you can see when you're watching TV, especially when you're BT, we are always projected as, you know, the people that you call black, you know what I'm saying? We're always projected in a negative light. So they feed our minds constantly day in and day out of us on the lower tip, even back in the 70s when they had the black exploitation films. And a lot of people, I think, got a misunderstanding when they watched that documentary, because even through the research, I saw that, you know, I came across a lot of information that really just pointed out that the Hughes brothers didn't really have a good liking of those in the life that protected, that wanted to, you know, be a part of that particular chosen life when it comes to pimps and hoes. And I think one of the, you know, you, Gorgeous Dre, as well as a few others, really stood out a lot to a lot of people's minds. Mind you, I'm 26 years old, you know what I'm saying? You had your father on the documentary along with yourself, and y'all spoke on a lot of important value systems, especially what y'all was saying on the show earlier. And I think that's really important in the world today, because we have really been divided amongst ourselves in the community that we used to have. I understand that, you know, you spoke on the black community earlier, but reality is we honestly don't have a community no more, and that's really what you know, I'm always about getting to the root of the problem, and a lot of people don't really see it that way. And so, hold on one second. Yeah, so we don't really have that, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we used to have that foundation of each one teach one, and I think people misunderstood that as well, because it's like, you know, if you grow up in a single parent home, you're going to pick up only that person's values, but on top of that, you're also going to pick up their flaws. You're not going to be able to get the other side of the story. You're not going to get the side of the story like if your mom always depicts your father as somebody else, as no good individual. Well, you ain't going to hear the stories about the times that she kicked him out when she didn't get, you know, such as little things, maybe money, just do miscellaneous things, and so he got put out the house, couldn't come back, because she wanted to do whatever she felt like was, you know, owed to her. So it's a lot of situations that the male couldn't be in that family. And, you know, because of this division, you know, we lose all of that which we share now. In the community that we used to have a long time ago, we had, you know, our brothers there, our uncles there, extended families. So we was able to pick up on a lot of things that was lost in our traditions, but because of the system that we're in, and we also got to understand that the system that we're in that is always talking about is not a system pertaining to us. You know, people got to understand history and go back and read and study. We, a long time ago, was conquered by Europeans, and so they have invaded and separated us through time and has strategically planned to remove the black man from out of the family structure. So a lot of people, unfortunately, the conditions that are set up out here is not allowing us to have a situation that is very sustainable and conducive to actually growing a healthy and established family. So when you have these situations where you have broken homes and it's filled with chaos and dysfunction, these are the precursor things that has already, well, the precursor was the people dividing us, but you have these conditions that are set up out here so that people don't know where to go, so they turn to the streets to try to come up to get to where they're trying to go, because they have no way out. They have, even for those who do work a 9-to-5, a lot of times they are not even given the proper necessities to set up the structure of their life and what they're trying to do. And meanwhile, we out here fighting over money and killing each other. And what's even more crazy than that is that even if you go back and do your research, there's a book, The Black Laws Dictionary, and it defines money pertaining to gold and silver, and it specifically states that it does not embrace bonds or notes. And when you turn over the back of your dollar, $100, $10, $1, what does it say at the top? Federal Reserve note. So the definition already says that notes is not money. But meanwhile, we are working hard and slaving for this, killing each other in the streets, trying to get something that is just an illusion anyway.
Let me say this, bro. You're,
yeah.
You're true, but what is your question?
my question. I wanted to call in and just try to chime in on the things that was just said. I didn't really have too many questions. You know, I just wanted to add into the discussion I had.
Okay, that's beautiful.
We appreciate that, man. Very enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah, it is.
All your viewpoints, I kind of felt you all the way down the line. The divide and conquer syndrome, the negativity within the streets, within our own people, is at an all-time high. And we would never be one if we value that almighty dollar. And if you would step on another man's toe to make a buck, somebody else is going to take that dollar from you. So you didn't win, and now you actually stepped on another man's toe to get it. So you're losing all across the board, man.
Exactly.
Let me bless
you. We got another call.
Okay, let me tell him one more thing. See, what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do. With that beautiful information that you have to turn the corner, and along with the dialogue of the information, you also attached to that dialogue solutions. So,
right.
So you get both ends. You give information, but you come with solutions also. Because
exactly.
We have a lot of information without solutions. Come with the solution, put your information. That's what I charge you with.
Yeah, the information is out there. It's been out there. Unfortunately, a lot of us do not take out the time to study. You know, and a lot of people view history as a continuing progress upward and onward. And we have bought this concept of progress and thinking that over time things are just going to get better, but that's really not even true.
I hear what you're saying, but what I'm trying to explain to you, I don't want you to stop there because you've got to, what's going to distinctify your information from somebody else's that's out there is when you bring some solutions along with your information. Because we can talk all day about what the problem is, but what's the solution that you see in what you're speaking about the problem?
The main solution, man, is unity. And that's the only way you ever you're going to solve this situation period.
That's what your study needs to be now, on unity. And you need to study there and then find out how within that unity, that solution, you can put that into operation.
Absolutely.
That's right. All right, brother.
And with that, let's go into a joint right here. This is the problem with the black community from my point of view. You on 93.2 FM is stay tuned, y'all. I believe that's the problem of the black community. You can't be a backstabber. You can't be a hater. Because if you're a hater, you're not a player. If you have no solutions to the problems, you're adding to the problems. Gorgeous Dre.
Yeah.
We're about to wrap it up here. What are your actual views on the game today as you see it? I understand it's the oldest profession, and it's probably never going to stop. What can you say in regards to the makings of a man? Because, like, I've been told back when I was dipping and dabbling in that realm of life that now that you have daughters, how can you be that guy over there, but you have daughters? You don't want nobody to pimp your daughter. But it's like, what can you tell the people of the world? Because I know this game ain't for anybody, but it's for everybody, and everybody can't do it, and people talk it and, you know, and don't walk it, and everybody's not going to get to the higher plateau as you acquired. What can you tell a person not to discourage them from following what they believe in, but what can you tell them? What's the best kept secret of a gentleman of leisure? I'll leave it at that.
Well, I don't know about the best kept secret, but let me tell you this. There seems to be this idea that the game is pimping. The game is not pimping. That's a part of the game. The game is bigger than pimping. Understand that I still utilize the game in what I do in my life today. All the game is knowledge. My father used to say all the game is knowledge with a play. It's just knowledge. That's what the game is. It's knowledge. So the game is not pimping. That might be a part of it, but there's many layers and many levels to the game. I utilize a lot of the information I learned from the streets and everything that I do right now. What I do understand is that people happen to think that the game is deceit. The game is truth. In its purest form, like I explained earlier, when I was in the lifestyle, I let a woman know from the gate what I was about. In order to be a true gentleman of leisure, you got to be true to thyself. Be honest, be transparent, and true to yourself. And the gentleman of leisure is not just a pimp. That was something I did as a young man. Hey, my dad comes from it. I was born out of it. If people choosing to do it, they're choosing to do it. The worst thing about it is that most people don't have the proper information, and so they're going without the proper skills. That's the worst thing about it, and they're going to end up in some major trouble, and they're not going to be able to get no get back. Because
exactly. They
think that the game is all about violence and lies and manipulation and force. That don't have nothing to do with the game. That's what you're doing when you call yourself a quote-unquote pimp. I can declare to you, you're not.
Exactly. And with that being said, we're going to go into another song, and we're going to be right back, y'all. This broadcast, once again, is sponsored by I Am Indie, and they told me that I got to say this. This show is not for squares. Let it be emphasized. Parental discretion is advised. Can this be real, y'all?
Always been the kind of guy who would handle almost any
93.3 FM Ism, y'all. Spitting the real. Might be a controversial topic for some. Might be reality for others. But it's gonna be definitely real. Make sure that you have the makings of a man. It must be in your DNA. Not an easy fight, we're black. But strive to be the best that you can be. Treat others like you want them to treat your mama. And what you do today can dictate tomorrow. Gorgeous Dre.
Hey now.
What you like to say to the world, man? You have the open platform right about now.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank God for bringing me out, placing me where I am at, where I'm at today. I'm yielded. I'm just a vehicle before Him. I'm an individual who believes in my people. I believe in the future of my people and all people. You know, I used to be a pimp. I'm not afraid to talk about where I came from. That's probably one of the biggest problems in the church. Everybody's trying to hide their past, not me. I'm transparent, and I wanted to share with you where I came from, where I'm at today. I'm married 15 years. I have beautiful kids. I'm a life coach. I'm also an advisor. I have business professionals, sports figures. I have all kinds of people that I coach and I advise. Go to my website, check it out, operations.org. If I could fit you in, if you need a life coach, get at me. Let me see if I could fit somebody in. I have a lot of people. But I thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to me. I love you, boy.
Well, I will chop it up with you in the future. You are a valued friend. I appreciate your contribution, not just musically, but for, you know, even looking out for me, period. On this platform, whenever you want to come back, we can always do a part two. I will talk to you tomorrow. I wish you and yours a beautiful evening, and God bless you and yours once again.
Well, thank you, man.
Man, thank you, sir. You guys are on 93.2 FM with Mr. Andre Taylor. Not just an American pimp, but an author, a true man. And if you need his assistance, you need to get at him. He can also be reached on Facebook. That's Andre Taylor. Spread the word. Tell a friend. Tell a hater to tell a player. And also tell a hater to tell a player, 93.2 FM. The only station playing lowrider R&B oldies, Funkadelic with the Temptations. And we are out of here, y'all. Peace. It's me for you and it's you for me. Always and forever.
enough.